Thank you, everybody, for coming back this week. I really, truly hope you saw my heart in that and continue on with that in a sense, because I want everybody to know that I am not advocating for silence. That's not my goal. But I am advocating reliance on the Holy Spirit. That's where I want to go with this. It's not about being silent, it's about being led. And in your personal lives, when it comes to politics, when it comes to all these big issues that are going on in the world, be led. Because I can tell you, arguments aren't solving anything right now. Nor will they. And your truth may not, my truth may not be received really very well, but that doesn't matter. It matters that the Holy Spirit told me to say something, share something, whatever it is, and I did it. What matters is that seed that's been planted. Just, that's it. It's not my job to make it come to fruition. It's not my job to make it grow. It may be my job if you bring them here and I can, you know, teach and whatever else. But in many circumstances, it's just saying that timely word. Whether they agree with it or not, we have to speak the truth of the word. We have to know the truth of the word. It needs to be in our heart because, man, the Holy Spirit, that's what he uses. When I get in these circumstances that are over my head, what comes out isn't my ideas, isn't my vast knowledge. It's me absolutely relying on the Holy Spirit to make. When I come up here, I'm absolutely relying on the Holy Spirit to help me. I don't ever want this to be my own strength, my own power, because there's no power in it. I want this to be effective. I want, when I speak, I want the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, changing your heart, forming your heart. You know, and as Christians, we're responsible to reach the lost. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's part of our job. That's part of our duties. So if we're silent, we're obviously not able to accomplish that goal. We're not able to bring the lost in. But we must understand who we're dealing with, right? And this seems obvious, but I think we can overlook it a lot. And we can't harden ourselves to non-believers. It's a really easy thing to do. I'm sorry, but they're the ones we're supposed to reach. Right? They're the ones that need Christ. We have Christ. We should be growing in Christ. We should be growing in relationships so we can reach others. And what that looks like in your life is between you and God. Yes, harden yourself to sin. Absolutely. Hate sin. Harden yourself to sin, but we cannot harden ourselves to those walking it out. We were all there at one time. Some to varying, you know, varying degrees, but we've all been there. If we harden ourselves to these individuals, we lose our opportunity to reach the individuals. That's why I say it's so important that we be led, that the love of God is flowing through us when we speak. Jesus spoke hard things when it was necessary. When it was necessary. Truth isn't always easy for people to consume. It's not. But it still needs to be said. And it needs to be said in the right heart attitude, because, man, we can shut down people right now. Simply, we can say, oh, they're just being fickle and nitpicking and whatever else. But if you lose them, you lose them. And if we lose them by the tone of our voice, by the posture of our body, we still lost them. right? So, who is the world? Who are we dealing with? 1 John, so I got some scriptures here. I'm going to zip through them. So if you just want to write down the references, you can look them up later. But 1 John 3:1, and this is the second part of the verse. 1 John 3:1 says, the reason why the world does not know us is because it does not know him. Right? Fairly obvious. I mean, we can all reason that out within ourselves. But sometimes the obvious things get lost. Sometimes the things that are right in front of our face get ignored. And then we go down roads that aren't fruitful, that aren't helpful. Romans 8:5-7. Romans 8:5-7. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. They're walking in death, right? We're walking in life and peace. There is a fight going on there. I'm not denying that there is a fight going on there. But what if we could show them life and peace? When I was at my worst, and I know a gentleman right now that's going through some stuff, he doesn't need to be told how worthless he is because he knows how worthless he is. I didn't need to be told that I was failing. It was obvious by the things I was doing that I was failing. So for people to come up to me and be like, you need to get it together. Thanks. Thank you. I'll take that to heart. This gentleman that I'm dealing with now is so overwhelmed, he has no idea what's up and down. He's so buried in what he's gotten himself into. He just continues down that horrible road because it's so much easier than trying to face fixing things. Fixing things are hard. Fixing things are hard. It's really easy to break things. It's really easy. It's amazing when you think about that. It's really easy to mess things up. But man, to get it back to where it needs to be in ourselves is impossible. Spiritually, it's impossible. I'm sorry, in the flesh, it's impossible. Spiritually, with Christ, it's possible. So they're walking in death. We're walking in life. Verse 7, for the carnal mind is hostile towards God. That's just what it is. These are the people we're dealing with. Right? But how quickly we take offense to what they're doing. And now I'm not saying what they're doing is okay. I'm not saying that we just go along with it, but I'm saying we still need to speak the truth to it. We cannot shun people because we disagree with what they're walking in, because they're being deceived. They're being deceived. And if some way, somehow, I can help them see the truth, I can help them understand the truth, that's the point. Now, whether or not they receive it is totally up to them. But it's also not my job to make them receive it. It's my job to speak. It's the Holy Spirit's job to change hearts. Over in John 16, I'm just going to turn there quick. See if I can find it. John 16, verse 8. We'll read a little bit here. And when he has come, this is referring to the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Well, that's why I always feel terrible, because the Holy Spirit is convicting me of sin. He's condemning me. He's judging me. No, read the rest of the verse. It says, convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me. Period. That's the one sin. He's not convicting you of all of your sins. We do that to ourselves until we seared our conscience enough to just walk in sin. But he's not convicting you of sin. He's saying, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. This is not you. There's so much more. There's so much more. Come to Jesus. Come to Christ. That little quiet knocking. That's his job. That's not my job. I can help that process along. We can all help that process along by loving people, by speaking truth, by coming up alongside them in their hardship and pulling them out. I pray that I can help this gentleman that's going through it. And man, is he going through it. I pray that there's some victory there, that there's some joy and peace brought from that situation. But it's not going to come from me browbeating this guy. He knows. Most everybody knows when they're doing things that are wrong. we don't always need to remind them of it. Jesus healed people, and then he said, sin no more. We need to be effective in our approach and in what we say. We need to recognize who the enemy is and what we are fighting. Because we're not fighting flesh. This battle isn't me fighting you physically. That's not what this is. That's what the world wants to turn it into. But at the root of it, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Yes, we are supposed to speak. We are supposed to speak. But this battle is a spiritual battle. And all of my abilities in the flesh can't change that, can't affect that like I can by following the leading of the Holy Spirit, by building myself up in that relationship, by getting into the Word and understanding the truth of the Word and the truths that are in the Word so I can share them with others with confidence. It's not always easy. Like, I know when the Holy Spirit's telling me to do something because my flesh revolts like you wouldn't believe. My heart starts beating fast. 1,000 ideas start going through my head of why I don't want to do this, why I shouldn't do this, and it has nothing to do other than with how I feel at the moment. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to take this step. Like, I know full I'm praying that changes over time. I want to just get to the point where he tells me something and I'm just full of confidence and I do it. That's where I want to get. That's my goal, but I'm not there. So I still deal with, oh God, anything but that. Don't make me talk to people. Here I am. But here's the thing. Like, once I get past my flesh, spiritually, this fills me. right? The things of God fill you. The things of God complete you, not what my flesh wants to do. Because eventually my flesh is going to come in alignment with my spirit, with my mind, because I'm taking captive those thoughts. I'm saying, no, I will not fight you, Holy Spirit. I will receive what you have to say, and I will walk it out, no matter how I feel. It's a spiritual war because the world is at odds with God. I mean, I know this seems so basic and so simple, but I believe, especially because things are getting, man, things are getting weird out in the world, like really weird. Things are happening that I just never ever thought could happen or would happen. He gets it. I mean, it's weird. It goes against all logic. It goes against all quote-unquote science. Because, I mean, how long were we the science deniers? But now, we can't determine if somebody's a male or a female. Now, when a baby is born, I can say, no, that's not a male, that's a female. Now, at horrible young ages, we can give people drugs. We can mutilate their bodies. And we can say, this is who they were supposed to be, because that's what I wanted them to be. No. And you can take... And I'm telling you what, man, that stuff gets me fired up. Gets me, like, I know I'm supposed to be fired up about a lot of things in the world, but that one pricks me. It pricks me because I read the stories. I don't know, God's working in me some way through this, but I read the stories. I read the statistics. I see what they're doing. And it's destroying these kids' lives. God forbid we just talk them through confusion. Like, honestly, you don't even really have to be a Christian to say, no, I'm sorry, you're a male. How you were created tells you you're a male. Like, you can fight that all you want. But you can't change the genes. You can't change the chromosomes. You can't change any of that. You can change the flesh, but deep down inside, you are who you are. And man, what if we coupled that with the message of the gospel? What if we coupled that? What if we came up alongside these people and you don't have to be confused because this is what your creator thinks of you. He thought of you so highly that he made you a male and he made you a female for a specific purpose. Specific. Imagine the hope that that can bring to somebody who is just utterly lost. We fight with the spirit of truth. That's what needs to be coming up inside of us. Is, okay, Holy Spirit, how do I deal with this? We need to turn to the one who is in direct communication with God the Father, God the Son. That's where truth is coming from. That's where problem solving is coming from, not my own abilities. Because, man, I messed up my life real quick, real fast. It didn't take long. Didn't take long. But had I been heeding the leading, the truth, because it was all inside of me, because it's not, I grew up a Christian. So there were things inside of me, but I wasn't heeding. I wasn't willing to be led because I had it all figured out. you know, we can't overlook that they have a sin nature and they need to be saved. This is the world. It doesn't matter what your opinion of them is. Our opinion of a certain individual needs to be shaped, and we need to see these individuals through the eyes of Christ. Because he died for them, just like he died for us. Hate the sin, not the sinner. You'll hear that a few times here, because it's got to get pounded into our heads, because there's these walls that are being built right now because of how extreme things are getting. Because of how horrific things are getting, there are walls being built that are separating us from those that need Christ. And we have to be so careful not to build these walls, not to build these prejudices and judgments. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. Do what's being asked of you now. Speak what you're told to speak now. And let that start the chain reaction of the Holy Spirit working with these people and leading and guiding these people to whoever else is next. Right? Like I said, we don't get to see everything from start to finish. It's not our role. But the Holy Spirit will see it through when we're faithful to do our part. We do our part, and then we say, Holy Spirit, take the rest. So what are God's thoughts on the world? What are his thoughts on the world? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's not slow. As some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Any and all. That's everyone. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, that's everyone. Everyone. Think of the people that irritate you the most. I have those people. I'm working on my heart. But who are those people? God wants them for the kingdom. God wants all these corrupt politicians for the kingdom. What? God wants these horrible dictators. Not their corruptness. No, no. But he wants their spirit, because that's how people change. We change people by the love of God. That's what changes people. He desires. Let's get there. 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. Once again, he desires all. But it's our choice. It's ultimately our choice. It's ultimately their choice. We made the choice. It was a good choice. Every one of us made a good choice. Don't feel mad about making a good choice. But now what? Now what? I made my good choice, and now I just wait till the end? I made my good choice, and I'm just going to ride the storm out. I mean, you can do that, but you won't be fulfilling what God had for you. You won't be fulfilling the purpose and plan for your life. And it doesn't matter your age. It does not matter. God can use you where you're at. We don't ever have to be done. We retire from some things. We move on from other things. But we don't ever have to be done sharing the goodness of God. We don't ever have to be done reaching the lost. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" So just his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, he is patient. Man, he will take, with the right heart attitude, up until the very end, he's waiting. Up until the very end, the last second, he's willing. He's able to save. This is how, you know, I've been going for weeks now. I've been talking about the goodness of God, right? Trying to share who our God is, what he is, what he thinks of us. These are the people that are rejecting him, and he's still patient, and he's still full of goodness, and he's still full of love towards them. And man, do I have to really chew on that, because I can push people away real easy. It's not about what you deserve, because none of us deserve anything, really. It's only because of the goodness of God. It's only because of the blood of Christ that we're here, that we're in a better spot than they are. But it doesn't mean that they can't come. He is not willing that any should perish. That's not his heart. His heart is for people, and I'm growing in this so much, and I want to continue to grow in this, is for people. It's hard to be effective when I don't like people. It's just the way it is. And it's not me that's, and it doesn't mean just because I start to like people and just because I start opening myself up, it doesn't mean God's going to make you a pastor. It doesn't mean he's going to send you to the mission field. If he calls you to do that, then you better do it, because that's where your blessing is. That's where your purpose is. But it may just be for those around you. It may simply be for some family, some close friends. Man, you sure have changed. You used to be a real jerk. I've gotten it. I have. I've gotten it from some people that I really didn't expect it from. That I thought we were friends. I thought we were friends. But I come to find out they're absolutely terrified. They were terrified of me. That's sad. Like, I don't want that to be my life. I want people to like me because I'm genuine, because they're seeing Christ in me. I don't want people to have to be fake around me. Right? Oh, here comes Jesse. Let's pretend we like him. I mean, that's, man, I still have so many people to apologize to. It's just overwhelming at times. His heart is for his creation. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, his heart is for his creation. And over time, that's where our heart needs to go. That's just, I can't think of any other way to get there, because God uses us to affect people. And if people look at me and I'm just a jerk, I'm not effective. I know other jerks. They're not effective. They're effective at being jerks. I mean, But that shouldn't be the goal for us. That shouldn't be the goal. That shouldn't be our heart. Our heart should be, okay, Father, I know this isn't me. I know I struggle with this, but help me. Help me change. You change my heart. Because I wasn't doing it on my own, and you're not going to be able to do it on your own. But we have to look at the world, and we have to see them through God's eyes. He longs for them. He longs for each and every one of them to know his truth. His truth. Not my truth. Not the ever-changing truth of the world. But his truth. So I mentioned this right away when we got going. I'm not advocating silence. Not advocating silence. That's not where my heart is. We have to speak the word. We have to speak the truth of the word. And that comes through reliance on the Holy Spirit. Luke 12, 11 through 12. This is the one I butchered last week. I'm going to get it right this week. Luke 12, 11 through 12 says, "Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." So, context. Man, the church was about to go through some persecution. They were fighting the machine of the Pharisees. They were fighting, they were opposing the machine of religion. And stuff was going to get ugly. But I believe that we can take this scenario and we can break it down into smaller and smaller circumstances. When I see that person that the Lord says, go talk to, what am I supposed to say? Just go talk to him. I can't possibly talk to somebody if I don't have something pre-planned, right? Like, what if I say something wrong? I mean, I need to have notes, and I just can't talk to people like that, spur of the moment kind of thing. But can I take that and I can say, no, okay, Holy Spirit, you're leading me to talk to this person. Give me what I need to say. Family, friends, coworkers, complete strangers. It's a tough one right there. Complete strangers. Go tell them God loves them. Ugh, that's so cliche. But maybe that's just what that person needs right then and now. And they'll say, shut up, and walk away. But as they're walking away, it's going to circulate in their mind, God loves me. And on they go. You just don't know. You just don't know. What the Holy Spirit is leading us to do is what needs to be done. That's just the way it is. I don't get to make up these rules. If I did, they'd be much different. And much less effective. Just. But we don't have to know everything, say everything perfectly. We don't have to be extremely charismatic. We don't have to be extremely good looking. We don't have to be any of that. We just need to be willing vessels. Willing vessels. So I like this testimony that Andrew Womack gives. He was in Vietnam, and he was running a Bible study in Vietnam. And so he'd have these troops come in, and they would sit down and talk. And one day, this atheist came in. This atheist came in and just tore him to shreds. Tore him to shreds. And all Andrew Womack could do was say, well, I don't know, but this is what the word says. I mean, this guy made him look like a fool. Like everything he said, this guy had a counter to, and all he could do was go back to the word and just say, this is what the word says. And this guy left. Everyone in his Bible study left. because he was a beaten man at that moment, physically. A couple days later, this guy comes back and he says, "You know what? I gave you everything I had, but you stuck to your word. You didn't vary. You didn't change. You spoke the truth of your word." And he eventually came to Christ. Because, man, it's not about, you know, there's times where we're just going to get beat down. There's so many people out there that are much smarter than I am. But when the Lord leads me to speak, it doesn't matter who I'm speaking to, what they're capable of, what their knowledge level is, I need to speak. Yeah. I need to speak. Because that's the word that he's giving me right then. It's not something I needed to plan out. We don't need to plan out every interaction that we have in this life. We just need to rely on what he has to say. We need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how he talks to you. I know how he talks to me. I'm praying it gets easier. Not that it's bad, but I'm praying for my flesh to come into alignment so I can just walk in this so much better, so much freer. But we're going over this. He is the Spirit of truth. He speaks truth. So if what you're hearing doesn't align with the truth of the word, it's not the Holy Spirit. Right? If it contradicts the word, you are not hearing from the Holy Spirit. He guides you into all truth. Once again, where are you going? If where you're going isn't lining up with what the word is speaking to you, what he is showing you, it might be time to just stop and say, okay, where am I? What am I doing? Where do I need to be? Because, man, we can have some really good ideas. Oh, man. Okay. So a few weeks back, I said I don't want to be a shipping specialist. My mother chided me and said, "You went too far." And I said, "Mother, you missed my point." But she still gave it to me. And but through circumstances at work, I was looking to move up in life. And through various conversations and leading, I am going to remain a shipping specialist. I'm sorry, honey, we didn't have this conversation yet. We'll have it afterwards. But it's not a bad thing, because here's the deal. Once again, I had these amazing ideas. If I can get here, then I can open up opportunities here. I can have opportunities here. There'll probably be a little bump in pay, which isn't a bad thing. I had it planned out. I had it figured out. And I was on my way, literally on my way. I had the position that I wanted. It was all worked out. I did it. Good job. And then the Lord tells me, he says, "You need to talk to them about something." So my heart is ministry. Whether I get one extra day, two extra days, my heart is ministry. And so I went in there and I talked to them and I said, "Just so you know, there's potential for me down the line to step into more ministry. That's my heart." And the minute I said that, the peace of God just flooded me. It was no longer about what I was supposed to be doing. It was simply about following the leading of the Holy Spirit and the benefits that have come from it. I don't have to worry about that anymore, because I was filling myself with worry. I was filling myself with doubts and, well, if I do this, you know, just, man, I had a good plan. But it wasn't his plan. His plan leads me to the opportunities that I need. And so a shipping specialist it is. And I'm going to be the best darn shipping specialist that I can be. And thank God, they're a company that's willing to work with me. Because the position I was seeking was a full-time position. There wasn't really any wiggle room. There wasn't really any... I wouldn't have been able to do ministry, more ministry, if I had taken that position. And when your heart... we got to follow our hearts here. No matter where it leads. It led me back to shipping. And that's okay. It's okay. But that's how this works in my life anyways. That's how it's working in my life. And I know it doesn't matter. I know that because I chose what he asked me to do, blessing is going to follow. That's it. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about extra money. I don't have to worry about all these things that are going through my head. I don't have to worry about setting up my family and kids. I just need to do what the Lord is asking me to do. And when I do that, it leads me to these other opportunities for growth and potentially finances and potentially all these other things that I would have closed the door on had I taken this position. So, Holy Spirit, I encourage you. Get into the Word, get into John 14, 15, 16. I've been reading John 14, 15, and 16 for about 5 years now. Just over and over and over and over and over and over because... Once again, aside from salvation, that is the greatest gift we receive in this life. You can't convince me otherwise. You can't convince me otherwise because I know what he's done in my life. I know how where I came from and where I am now, and it's from the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so many things I can't explain. I don't know. I just did what I was told. It's one thing I am good at. I'm good at doing what I'm told. Marine Corps probably had something to do with that. But let's get good at doing what we're told. Let's get good at relying on His Spirit, His love, His life, because it all comes from Him. Let's get good at speaking to those people who he's leading us to speak to. Let's get good at not hardening ourselves to those in this world, but seeing them through the lens of Christ, seeing that he shed his blood for them just as much as he did for me. He desires all. He cares for all. The root of all of this is love. As we grow in love, doors will open up to those around you, to those you're seeking to affect, to those you're not seeking to affect. But it's love. It's love. Amen? Father, I just thank you that you are so good and that we can trust in you. We can rely on you to lead us in the path that we're supposed to go. We can rely on you to give us the words to say when we need to say it. We can rely on you to lead us in your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and your love. And I just thank you so much for what you've done in our lives, what you're doing in our lives, and what you're going to continue to do in our lives as we follow you, Lord. I just, again, pray for opportunities this week as we go out to share your love, to share your goodness with those in our community, those outside of our community, Father. I just thank you for opportunities. I pray for a blessed week, safety over this congregation as we go today. And I just thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week. If anybody needs ministry, prayer, whatever, I'll be up here for a little bit. Otherwise, we'll see you downstairs.